Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. We're getting into the middle of the month here. Summer's just a couple of weeks away, and it is snowing in New Mexico. And still, the Obama administration is out there screaming global warming. We must have a carbon tax. We must, you know, all the rest of this other stuff here. And do you realize the United States has now reached the point where the Soviet Union was under Stalin, where it didn't matter how stupid the government was, you were just expected as a loyal citizen to always say, oh yes, that's what we will believe, and we will act as if that's true, which of course led to the massive famines following the disastrous experiment with Lysenkoism. Because politics does not trump science. That snowstorm out in New Mexico should be a lesson to that. But unfortunately, we have way too many leaders and politicians and religious leaders, too, who think that if they just get up there and scream loud enough that the real world will change magically to match that imperial will here. Now, speaking of imperial will, obviously the situation is continuing to evolve over in eastern Ukraine. Luhansk and Donetsk have officially declared independence. Donetsk has already asked Russia for admission to the Russian republics. Now, Russia is playing it very cool. And they're saying, well, we're going to think about this a little bit. And I'm sure in the end Russia will agree, but Russia understands the propaganda game going on in the West, where this is all somehow Russia's fault. Russia's the bad guy. Russia's expanding. Russia, you know, pot calling the kettle black. It is the United States that's been expanding endlessly since the end of World War II by all these covert overthrows of other countries, if not outright invasion. And they're trying to gin up another one down there in Nigeria, probably as a distraction from how badly things are going in Ukraine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria. Got a whole bunch of disastrous wars. Well, we'll just start another disastrous war and give the media something else to look at. But Russia is playing it kind of cool, low-key. They're continuing to basically outmaneuver the United States. Nobody around the world is buying any of this nonsense that this is Russia's fault. Everybody knows that 2 months ago, when the elected government of Ukraine decided to not join with the European Union and go with a more attractive offer from Russia, that's when the covert overthrow happened. The government in Kiev is not, as Obama claims, duly elected. It is, in fact, an imposed by force puppet regime, a junta. And they are coming up on elections the end of this month, but they're not really representative of the people because all of the candidates have been pre-selected from within the coup d'etat themselves. That's what's going on. Now, up in Sweden, their foreign minister, Carl Bildt, is saying they won't recognize the Ukrainian referendums. And apparently the guiding light for the entire West right now is governments installed by force represent democracy and the people can go jump in the lake. Because that's exactly the Orwellian doublespeak they're trying to sell you, is that a government installed by force represented democracy in action, and the Eastern Ukrainian people overwhelmingly voting to not follow that government they did not elect. That's terrorism. That can't be allowed to stand here. And the net result is, we are seeing an attack on the basic principles of democracy coming out of the United States of America and their allies here in the West. They're all out there saying, no, 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 the people can't just vote themselves independent. No. Oh, remember what William Hague was saying, only governments can hold referendums for independence. You think a government's ever going to do that? Of course not. And under the guise of bringing democracy to the world, we've got the United States out there saying, no, 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 no. The people deciding for themselves what they want to do, that's not democracy. Obeying their U.S. puppet regime, that's democracy in action. Okay, we're going to take a phone call here. Fred in Iowa. Aloha, Fred. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, first of all, Lady Claire, last Friday, she said a whole mouthful, and I really hold her in high regard.
Yes, so do I.
There's a disturbing thing that's been happening, and it seems like the Saudis are the the bad guys, the terrible guys that we should hate the Saudis. That's the impression I'm getting. I would like to ask if Wes in Idaho would care to call in. He can articulate things better than I. Thank you much, and that covers it for me.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the phone call and for the kind words here. We're going to let you go. Now, getting back over to the situation in Ukraine, the OSCE held another conference in Geneva. Like the first one, the leaders of the separatist autonomy movement in eastern Ukraine were not invited. And basically, this new conference in Geneva basically agreed to what they'd agreed the first time, and you need to remember that junta in Kiev didn't keep their word. Everyone said the violence must stop, and Kiev went right back to basically shooting at people lining up to vote at the referendums. And they're not likely to keep their word again this time. But by not including the autonomy movement leaders in this Geneva conference, basically the separatists in eastern Ukraine are under no obligation to go along with whatever was decided in Geneva. That's like your neighbor to the left and your neighbor to the right having a meeting and saying that you should paint your house green. They don't have standing to do that, and you weren't involved in the negotiations. And that's exactly what's going on. We have all these nations in the West and the junta in Kiev all getting together and saying the people of eastern Ukraine should just sit down and accept the new reality. And the people of eastern Ukraine are saying, no, we do not want to do that. And by the way, the graft and corruption is already on full display for everybody to see. Joe Biden's son has been appointed a director of Ukraine's largest gas company. He's now on the board of directors, just plunked him right on in there, and he's now basically going to be steering that gas company for the benefit of Europe and Western banking. Now, an interesting article over in Der Spiegel in Germany, basically saying the EU sanctions are a bluff. And they're going through basically the information I pointed out back when sanctions were first starting. They're going to hurt Europe and the United States a lot more than they're going to hurt Russia. Russia has a strong, powerful economy backed up by good manufacturing and agriculture. The U.S. dollar is propped up by the threat of U.S. military force and a lot of, you know, funny game playing on Wall Street. And it's very fragile. So is the euro, because they have this private central bank that has crippled the economy of all the nations that are using private central banks. And if the and everybody's okay with these little sanctions against Putin's friends and everything, but as much bluff and bluster as we're seeing about wide sanctions against Russia, the reality is Europe is going to get hammered by them. And so it really is a bluff. And even Der Spiegel is saying, yeah, it's a bluff, and Putin's got to know it's a bluff. Meanwhile, speaking of a bluff, another article that came out of the journal/neo.org. As everybody knows, there's a big controversy over fracking, the development of shale gas and shale oil. And the U.S. government has been promoting this. It's a huge boom. We're getting all this extra oil and gas with which we can cover Europe's shortfall if Russia shuts off gas going into the Ukraine and Europe. Now, here's a little bit of a problem, okay? As of the 1st of next month, actually the 3rd of June, Russia is going to start shutting those gas valves because the junta in Kiev, despite huge amounts of money being loaned to them by the IMF, is still not paying for their natural gas coming from Russia. They're actually buying gold, apparently to replace that huge hoard of gold that was reportedly flown out of Kiev during the coup d'etat. It's probably down in the Federal Reserve basement now. We'll be right back about why this shale boom may be going bust.
Earth. earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Well, there's drugs to get you up, and there's drugs to help you get down. There's drugs you get from a doctor, and there's drugs you get downtown. And there's drugs that help your hearing, even drugs that help your sight. And there's drugs that help you think that every little thing is gonna be alright. And even shots, pills, capsules, little drops, they go.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about all the fracking, the shale gas, shale oil industry, which has been just spread all across the land, and it's causing all kinds of problems, contaminated water, contaminated lakes and streams, killing off the fish, tap water that turns on fire. It's a huge, huge problem, but the U.S. government was promoting it and pushing it and just trying to tamp down all the complaints because this boom in shale oil and shale gas was going to make the United States rich, was going to make us independent of other countries for oil imports, and more importantly, was going to allow the United States to cover the shortfalls in oil and gas from all of this tinkering in other people's countries. At the moment, the United States is promising Europe that if Russian gas exports to Europe are cut off, that the U.S. will cover the shortfall. Well, the European nations aren't really too sure how much they should trust the U.S. government, and in this case, they have a good reason to be cautious, because experts inside the shale industry are saying that forecasts and increasing production aren't living up to the hype coming out of Washington, D.C., that, you know, this huge expansion of infrastructure and these fracking wells all over the landscape have created a surge in shale oil and shale gas. But that volume of production will not continue to grow at that rate because they basically maxed out the available shale formations already. And in, investment counselors are saying that basically this is going to peak at 2020. That's really all that's down there in the shale. These are not huge deposits. They were just deposits that were not being used, and they've drilled down, toxified the environment. They're sucking out that oil and gas, but there isn't that much locked in those shale formations. And they're expecting that the shale resources will peak about 2020. Anybody investing in that shale gas and shale oil industry, thinking it's going, the boom times are going to last for decades, they're dreaming. They're absolutely dreaming. And so Europe is very wise and prudent to be cautious, accepting Washington, D.C.'s assurances that the United States will cover the gas shortfall in Europe if Russia shuts off those gas pipelines. Now, you and I all know what's going to happen. The United States, in order to prop up Europe in the event of a Russian gas shutoff, is going to impose rationing here in the United States of America. You don't need to heat your homes in the winter. We've got global warming, of course, you know, and people, we already have people freezing in their homes, freezing to death in their homes over these harsh winters because they can't afford the current price of oil and gas, and it's only going to get worse. And Washington, D.C. had better wake up and realize they have a massive credibility crisis around the entire world right now. Because this isn't the Soviet Union. And when the government says something stupid or that's a lie, people are going to stand up and say, that's really stupid, or that's a lie. We're just covered under the First Amendment, I might add. Now, there's another interesting story that came out of Der Spiegel in Germany. Fears grow over Bulgaria's Russian dependence. And, oh, Bulgaria is going to be next. Well, Bulgaria might be absorbed by Russia. Russia's just moving in. No, what's going on here is the European Union has broke because of that private central bank. It is hopelessly mired in debt. It's dragging all of them down. And just like the Ukraine, Bulgaria is looking at far more attractive partnerships with Russia, which has a strong functioning economy because their government controls that central bank. Yes, it's still privately owned, but it's under government control so that the public currency is a public utility. So this is more Russia bashing and concern that member nations of the European Union are going to be looking at what life is like in that European Union versus what life is going to be like part of Russia's growing strong economy. They might just say, hey, we're going to leave the European Union. Russia's really looking better and better all the time. So they're out there bashing Russia. It's Russia's fault here. But there's an interesting repeat of history going on here that may actually bode well for America itself. Now, back before the Russian Revolution of 1905, American corporations were abusing American workers to an extent similar to what we're seeing today. Prices driven down, prices going up while wages are driven down to keep everybody mired in debt. Prior to 1905 was the heyday of the company town, where corporations would own the entire town, the factory, the stores, and those workers who moved there thinking they were going to get higher wages were then shocked to find out that the rents and the prices at the company store were so high that you would have to go into debt just to live. And the debt would grow and grow and grow. And as long as you were in debt to the company, you were not allowed to leave the company town. They're trying to do the same thing to the entire nation all at once right now. And we have vestigial reminders of the hideous abuse by corporations to workers surviving in folks long like 16 Tons, where he says, you know, I owe my soul to the company store. That was an intentional plan to put people into debt to keep them controlled. Now, once the Russian Revolution happened, the awareness that the pressures on the American workers could lead to a similar socialist revolution here caused the corporations to back off and allow workers' standard of living to raise and stimulate the consumer economy. And it actually worked out very well. The Russian Revolution had a positive impact on the rights and pay of workers in America because they were that afraid of a socialist revolution in this country. And, of course, that's when all the Russia bashing and commie bashing, and I remember when I was going to grade school, just this constant drumbeat of, well, it doesn't matter how hard things are in the United States, it would only be worse under communism, which turned out to be yet another in a long line of government lies. Well, we're actually getting into the same situation. Corporate abuse of the American workers absolutely disgruntled. And we're seeing the rise of Russia as an attractive alternative, if for no other reason than the model of state control of the central bank, which is an idea that is spreading all around the world. The public currency is public property. It belongs to the people. It should be handled as a public utility. The bankers, of course, have another idea. We want to run everything. And that's just the way that the imaginary playmate in the sky that we pray to says the world ought to be. All right, we're going to take a quick phone call here. Jerry in Chicago. Aloha, Jerry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael, and thank you for taking my call. There was a caller that called in. I believe it was an RBN show several months ago. And he was saying that back in the 80s, a lot of these manufacturing companies that had a byproduct struck up a deal with these the fracking companies. Rather than use regular water, they were using the stuff that they would have had to pay a lot of money to get rid of through the EPA. Do you know anything
right.
about that?
Yeah, the caller called into my show and had once worked for the fracking industry. And now some of the chemicals that are in the fracking fluid are there for a reason, to soften the rock, to make it easier to fracture. But this guy confirmed that these companies that were producing toxic waste products that would be very expensive deal with properly, they struck a deal with the fracking companies for just a tiny fraction of the cost. The fracking companies would simply take the toxic waste, add it to the fracking fluid, and pump it thousands of feet down into the ground on the theory that it would simply stay down there. That, of course, has not worked out. Those fractures that allow them to take the oil and gas out of the rock also allow whatever's pumped into the fracking system to leak out and get into the water, which is what's been happening all across the country. But yeah, that's a deal that they did, and apparently it's perfectly legal under U.S. law to get rid of toxic waste this way. All right, thank you for the call, Jerry. We have to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to take another phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Yeah, well, I was talking about company towns. And I think they still use those in, like, for the gold mine towns. They, I believe they, like, have all these bars set up and, like, prostitutes. So you would go to them after work, and then the company would get a cut of the profits they would make from the bars. And then it was just a recycling over and over, so those people would never leave the town.
Yeah, I'm sure those kind of things are still going on, but there were actually some laws passed to basically mandate that companies that were owning and operating remote manufacturing or mining or railroading locations had to open those up to outside companies to come on in so that competition would drive down prices. The abuse of the company towns prior to 1905, it was absolute total control. The company owned absolutely everything. They set the prices high, always above what the workers were being paid, to trap them in debt so they would never leave. Enticing workers to remain in place with lots of bars and bordellos, I think that comes under the heading of free will, where the workers can stop drinking and stop going to the bordello and save up enough money to leave. But the way the company towns were set up in the United States prior to 1905, they were intentionally designed to imprison the workers there permanently. And, of course, knowing the workers could not leave, basically the mid-level managers could just abuse them all that they want. And it was a very ugly chapter in America's economic history. What they're trying to do right now, what the money junkies are trying to do right now, is turn the entire United States into a company town where the corporations own everything and control the prices to keep them down and keep piling debt on you, so that you believe that you're under some obligation to do what they tell you to do, and of course you're never able to leave. They're already talking about not allowing Americans to leave the country if they're significantly in debt.
I just got one more thing to say about South Carolina, where them rounding up homeless people.
Yes.
And I remember last year, I think it was in Greece, where they were doing the same thing to get them out of the town so everything looked normal. And I believe also in Greece, they were fixing up storefronts that were abandoned and putting fake breadsticks and salamis hanging
yeah.
down. And even though the store was closed, people wouldn't see, you know, nothing in the store. They would see something in the store thinking maybe it's just closed.
Well, we're seeing the same thing in the local shopping malls. There's a huge retail vacancy problem, and what they'll do is set up a display in there that at first glance looks like it's a store, but usually it's a window display that refers to another existing retail establishment in the mall. But it's anything to keep people from seeing all the vacant spaces. And we have an entire strip mall down at the bottom of the hill that's just gone out of business. It's all fenced off and everything. Here in Hawaii, the headline news over the weekend is there is a new sweep taking place in Waikiki to get the homeless out of there. Because when you go down to Waikiki, there are tent camps all over the place. And the tourism board is complaining. This is not the image of Hawaii tourism we want the world to see. So they're basically going in and destroying the tents and trying to drive the homeless people out. We're an island. Where are these people going to go? You know, what are they going to do? Walk back to the mainland, take a step, come up for air, take another step, come up for air. It really is a very callous way of trying to deal with the problem. I know that tourists don't want to have to deal with the homeless and hungry. They don't want to have to look at them on their vacation. I know the tourism department doesn't want them where they can be seen, but where are they going to go? Where are they going to go where they have a chance of not starving to death on this rock?
What I can't understand is people who are tourists, they probably have family members that are unemployed or homeless. So everybody knows what's going on then, eventually.
I know, but this is where the tourism department is thinking. They don't want it to be out there invisible. They want to present an image of Waikiki to the world where everybody's happy and everybody's having fun. And there's, you know, but again, a lot of those businesses that used to be there have gone out of business. Some of them are operating in bankruptcy. The big stores are all prestige stores, which are from like the big designers around the world. The high-end things like Tiffany's and so forth, where these stores are running at a loss, but they're being supported by their corporations for the name value. We have a store in Waikiki. It's a prestige situation.
That's all I wanted to tell you. It's pretty bad out there, though. It's getting worse.
Yeah, it's very bad, and it's getting worse. We're going to switch over to Art Off the Grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike.
Art,
how's it going?
There you are. Okay, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, you're talking about the company town here. Speaking from personal experience, anyone who's been listening for any length of time, whether it's to RBN or when I used to do talk radio, and even the days when I had my own internet radio broadcasts on another network, which I won't mention, anyone who's been listening to any of these broadcasts has gotten to know me a little bit, and they know a bit about my background and 27 years of my life being homeless and traveling the country, most of which, of course, by choice.
Mm-hmm.
In 1987, and I have no reason to believe that this is not the case today, but in 1987, I first became homeless in 1983. And that was due to a deep desire to find out who my father was.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out to the road to find my father, who was homeless at the time. I found him in Lexington, Kentucky, and he and I traveled back and forth for a few years between Lexington, Kentucky and Tampa Bay area, doing the tobacco in Kentucky during the summer and fall, and then doing the oranges down in Florida during the winter months.
Yes.
Well, one year, 1987, I decided I wanted to take a break away from oranges, and there just happened to be a guy, and I was in Florida, in Tampa at the time, and I was sleeping under a bridge in Hyde Park. Now, we used to go down on Pratt Street and catch a bus with a fellow named Jerry Stetson, who worked the orange groves for Tropicana. Well, I decided I wanted to take a break from oranges, and there just happened to be a bus there from New York, and this guy was offering jobs to anyone who wanted to go to New York and pick apples. Okay, well, I'd never picked apples, but heck, couldn't be any harder than oranges, right? Mm-hmm. I hop on the bus, and we go all the way to New York on this bus trip. Get up there, and what do we find but a company town? Now, it's a small area outside of Rochester, New York, quite a ways away outside of Rochester, but up in that general area. And they had everything you needed. Places to eat.
Okay. Art, you got to finish up. We're only three. Art, we've only got 3 minutes left. You got to wrap this up.
This is still going on today. This is nothing but slavery. And anyone who says slavery doesn't take place in the United States, you're kidding yourself. I've seen this firsthand. And they actually tried to tell me no one walks away from this place. I was one of the few people actually was able to walk away. But, folks, it's happening. Right here, right now.
Yeah, well, we're seeing it all across the country, and it's definitely the hallmark of a fascist state. And, of course, we're all slaves. We don't really own our homes. The government can take it anytime they want under eminent domain. Just ask, you know, the Bundy Ranch. The government's clearly in the wrong, and they're still out there trying to figure out a way they can take that ranch and turn it over to a corporation for development. Look at how much of your money is turned over to the government in taxes every year. The aggregate tax rate for Americans is above 50%, unless you're the 1%, then you get all the breaks and the loopholes. So if you think about it, we're working half of our lives for ourselves and our families, and the other half of the time for our masters. 50-50 happens to be exactly the same ratio of time for self, time for the masters, that the antebellum slaves worked under. Same ratio the medieval serfs worked under. Same ratio the Roman slaves worked under. They may tell you you're free, but no, you are not. You are a slave to the money junkies, and that's exactly what they worked for and the way they liked it.
Well, it's a system that has worked so well time and again, so why not stick with it? And interesting that you mentioned, you know, other countries and stuff, because anybody, if you have access to the archives, you didn't catch Ben Swan's broadcast yesterday, go listen to it. There was a woman on there, his guest, and they were talking how Israel is detaining people and not allowing them to leave Israel, and they're using children as the excuse. To me, this is nothing less than international kidnapping, and I have to wonder what is wrong with the countries around the world allowing their people to be detained in Israel in this fashion.
Well, that was actually on my show yesterday, but anyway, we have to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls.
Friends, family, co-workers that have lost their health insurance for treatment and surgery at fractions of U.S. prices. Consider AsiaRunLikeHellGuy.com. Heart bypass, valve replacement, six figures under U.S. prices. Hip or knee replacement? Some of the best cosmetic surgeons on the planet. AsiaRunLikeHellGuy.com is honored to be associated with a highly internationally certified hospital serving 300,000 patients a year. Visit AsiaRunLikeHellGuy.com and click on medical tours today. You could be on an operating table 72 hours from now.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And supernatural silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. And Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Watch out for the police. They're lurking in every corner. They'll beat you down for your stash. With handcuffs and guns, I bet they're having fun when they take away your cash. They're on the rise, this oversized gang of pirates on the seas. And don't you get.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Let me trim my volume a little bit. We're going to go back to the phones here. Kent in Fort Worth. Aloha, Kent. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, big old Texas howdy to you. Question number one, were there any Navy ships off of Benghazi when that happened?
That is unknown at this time. There was a Predator drone that was overhead real-timing the scene back to the White House Situation Room. And that drone itself is a cause for suspicion because contrary to what you see in movies like the Bourne Legacy, those drones don't fly that fast. They're designed for range and endurance, and their top speed is something like 130 miles an hour. And so that drone would have had to have been in the air on the way to Benghazi before the events even started.
They said that they were going to fly spy airplanes over Russia again. You think they're using the Aurora?
They may be. The Aurora probably by now is starting to get a little bit old. I mean, there's one rumor that the project was canceled because they couldn't get it to work reliably. I'm sure they're using something. They certainly have enough satellites looking down on Russia. So the declaration that they're going to start doing spy flights over Russia, I think, is kind of a propaganda admission. For one thing, Russia's air defense missile system can now reach up above the atmosphere, and that makes any such flights very, very chancy. Back in the days of Francis Gary Power and the U-2 and then later the SR-71, they could fly so high and so fast they were out of reach of Russians' weapons at the time. Today, it's very, very different.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let me tell you what happened over here. A couple weeks ago, the code man come up to the front door and he said, "Oh, I saw your dog over here." And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I walked down the street and I said, "You know, I'm not a corporation. You have no jurisdiction over me." They called cops.
Okay.
And it's resolved, but I wrote him a letter I put down, I need more time. And I said, I asked the question, I said, are code rules and regulations laws underneath that I put down? I'm not a corporation, not a fiction, not a, I don't live in a zone, I'm not a stakeholder, I'm not green, I don't live in a product, and on the bottom. And I mail it to them. They will not answer your questions.
No, they generally won't.
They don't.
Yeah,
I got proof that they will not answer me, period.
Okay.
I've written questions before, but they will not respond to you.
Okay.
You have to respond to them.
And
he gave me New World Orders right on my porch.
Okay.
I don't like this. Anyway.
We're gonna let you go here, and we're gonna switch over to Kevin in Florida. Kevin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Thanks, man. I got a quick question. Why do you think Putin and other world leaders don't use the truth about 9/11 against the U.S. government, to help stop the aggression against other countries around the world?
I think probably they're of the opinion that the majority of people around the world are still buying into the official story, and I think they may actually be misjudging the public climate in that. But any time a government is going to make a statement about anything, they first go out and say, how likely is this to be believed? And, of course, by bringing up 9/11 and saying it was a U.S. and Israeli false flag, Russia then opens itself up to a counter-propaganda campaign about, look how crazy those Russians are. How dare they accuse us of this? So Putin is a master chess player, and he's showing that to the world right now. I think he wants to keep the issues current and focused on Ukraine and focused on U.S. actions in Kiev. Ultimately, when Russia and the BRICS 80 decide they've had enough, they have a far more potent weapon than 9/11, and that is to simply drop using the dollar, because the BRICS nations have now expanded to a total of 80, and that is a huge, huge power block.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But just it seems to me for them not to to bring that out, it makes it more likely that the elite in all the countries seem to be just playing roles.
Well, again, I think it's more a case of Russia not wanting to give the United States an excuse to scream, oh, they're kooks, they're nuts over there, and further demonize Russia. And
there's so much proof out there right now. I mean, there's so much evidence that you would think that a country the size of Russia could portray it in a manner in which it could. I mean, it's easily proven that it's not a conspiracy theory.
Again, I think it's a case of Russia is trying to gauge the willingness of the world to accept that alternative story coming from a source. And we have seen articles in the Russian press, and for that matter, pretty much the press everywhere around the world, calling into question the official U.S. government story, not only about 9/11, but about pretty much everything else. So it's definitely out there. But I think Putin doesn't want to be seen as the person or the party that's escalating the situation. His public presentation is one of somebody who's trying to calm things down. They're pulling back. They're telling Donetsk, hang on, we're going to do a pause before we accept you into Russia. So Putin is not going to do anything that is seen as being provocative and escalating the situation at this time.
All right, man. Well, thanks and enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. Now, getting back to Russia and Ukraine, there's an interesting article over an Investment Watch blog, and this follows hard on the heel of the story in Der Spiegel saying that all of this talk about wide sanctions against Russia is a bluff because sanctions would cause far more destruction to Europe and the United States than to Russia. So we're seeing this article, Investment Watch blog, Russian economic power driving wedge between indebted Western governments. This goes back to the article about Bulgaria. The European Central Bank and the money junkies are dragging Europe down to bankruptcy, all of it, some nations faster than others. And some of these nations are looking at Ukraine, which said, we don't want to be part of the European Union. We're going to get a better deal going to Russia. And they're starting to say, hey, we have to take care of ourselves. And the European Union has turned out to be a really, really bad deal for us. And so it's being spun as, bad Russia for luring our slaves away. But the reality is that Russia has a strong economy. The Russian ruble is backed up by strong Russian manufacturing and strong Russian agriculture. America's currency, the dollar, which right now is the global trade and reserve currency, has very little to back it up. America doesn't manufacture a lot of products. And those that are manufactured are poor in quality, and our computer industry is in a free fall because of the NSA scandal. And nobody wants our agricultural produce because of that disastrous experiment with GMOs. And so aligning with Russia or China is looking very, very attractive to more and more countries. And that is just absolutely the reality. We are seeing the decline of the United States of America. And there isn't any way to reverse that other than to rebuild our manufacturing and repurpose our agriculture to producing healthy, safe food that other countries want to buy. Unfortunately, our government seems to think that a new world war is going to solve all their problems because that's what worked before. And it isn't. We're going to lose this one. Even if it goes nuclear, the United States is ultimately going to lose this third world war. To the money junkies, the bankers who are behind it, they don't care. They just want a war to make money off of both sides, win or lose. And they don't care which side wins or loses. They'll gladly see the United States government and the United States go down to defeat as long as it puts more money in their pockets. Meanwhile, over in Syria, the hired mercenaries have adopted the same tactic that Ukraine has against Crimea. They're shutting off the water going to the city of Aleppo. So now water has become a weapon of war. And that's a violation of the UN Charter because everybody is assumed to have a right to food and water, the essence of life. It's even in the Declaration of Independence when it says you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Obviously, if you have a right to life, you have a right to life's necessities, basic necessities, food, water, shelter. And now we're seeing water used as a weapon of conquest. We'll be right back.